Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's Game with Words, populated by impeccably credentialed panelists.
Tony, you used to host The World.
Any yeah.
idea where...
And you'll notice where I am today.
Your world Shrek.
Today, played in front of a Vermont audience that expects no demands, eloquent expression, and the best of bluffs.
It's a small goat that's been flattened.
No.
You don't want to stifle a groan. I think a groan should build... Thank you for that opinion, madam. I appreciate that. So stick around for that dollop of cultured humor you've come to expect from these guys, served with a little Green Mountain flavor.
It's a piquant combination of cheese and maple syrup served over pate.
Says You, served up next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Italy's new coalition government has been sworn in 2 months after an inconclusive general election. The ceremony was marred by a gunman, though. As the inauguration was taking place, the BBC's Bethany Bell reports that two police officers were shot and wounded outside the prime minister's office.
Italian police have told the BBC it isn't clear if there's any connection between the shootings and the swearing in of the new government. The incident took place some distance across town from where the swearing-in ceremony was taking place. Police have arrested a man who they say may have mental problems. It's a somber start for Italy's new government. The new Prime Minister, Enrico Letta, from the centre-left, has formed an awkward political alliance with Silvio Berlusconi's centre-right party. Mr. Berlusconi isn't part of the new cabinet, but one of his closest allies is Deputy Prime Minister.
The BBC's Bethany Bell reporting more survivors are being located in the rubble of the building that collapsed Wednesday in Bangladesh. Officials say 9 were discovered today and rescuers are still trying to reach them. Meanwhile, a commando force caught up with the building's owner as he was trying to escape into India. Authorities in France are looking into why a residential building partially collapsed east of Paris. One official says a gas explosion may be the cause. 2 people died and at least 9 others are injured. Rescuers are searching for survivors. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is recovering from surgery at a hospital in Washington, D.C. NPR's Nina Totenberg has details on what happened.
Justice Breyer fell off his bike on Friday. And this is the third time he's fallen off his bike in the last 20-some-odd years. The first time was in 1993 when he got a collapsed lung, and the second time was about a year and a half ago when he broke a clavicle, and then there's Friday.
NPR's Nina Totenberg reporting. A federal appeals court has ruled that an argument over tourism in the Grand Canyon must commence in a Native American tribal court. As Mark Miranda, member station KJZC in Phoenix, reports, lawyers had questioned whether the tribe had the authority to hear the case.
Businessman David Jin invested $30 million to construct a horseshoe-shaped glass bridge that juts out over the Grand Canyon and allows visitors to look straight down through the floor into the canyon's vastness. But ever since Jin built it, he's been at odds with the Hualapai tribe over its operation. The bridge is on tribal land, and its leaders say they govern it. Jin sued, saying the tribe doesn't have the authority. The Ninth Circuit Court intervened and ruled that Jin's legal course must indeed run through the tribal court before any other federal court can be involved. The Hualapai call the ruling a significant victory. The bridge opened in 2007 and has been extremely popular with tourists. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran in Phoenix.
And this is NPR News. A Mississippi man is due in court tomorrow on charges of making and possessing the poisoned ricin. 41-year-old James Everett Dusky was arrested this weekend at his home in Tupelo as part of the investigation into ricin-laced letters that were sent to President Obama and 2 others. Charges had initially been charged against another Mississippi man, but those charges have been dropped. The entrepreneur who created a multi-million dollar business by stocking stores with items that cost 99 cents or less has died in Los Angeles. Dave Gold was 80 years old. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has more.
Dave Gold opened his first 99-cents-only store.
store in Los Angeles in 1982. Gold told the Los Angeles Times he believed 99 cents was a magic price point and, despite the very vocal misgivings of his family and friends, opened a store where everything was priced that way. At a time when similar stores sold outdated or damaged goods for a dollar, Gold's stores were bright and clean and well organized. By the end of his life, the store his family had laughed at initially had expanded to over 300 stores in the western United States. The company was acquired in a deal valued at more than $1 billion in 2011, but Gold remained involved. He was on a work-related call when he died on Monday. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
Things are expected to get back to normal at the nation's airports by this evening. There were significant delays last week stemming from the federal budget cuts known as the sequester. But lawmakers passed a bill allowing the agency to withdraw furloughs of air traffic controllers. The FAA says normal operations will resume this evening as air traffic facilities return to regular staffing levels. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and the advancement of global peace at carnegie.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Stowe, Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio, the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center, and the Stowe Mountain Lodge, home for Says You near the top of Vermont. On the web at stowemountainlodge.com. Spell out mountain, put an E on Stowe.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
From deep in the heart of Vermont's Green Mountains, welcome to Stowe, Vermont, and Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He thought when I mentioned Mount Mansfield, what a fitting tribute to Jane, Tony Khan. Jay, how she loves to cavort in the mountains, cavort anywhere, really, Francine Akbar. And inside that hard-packed, icy exterior beats the heart of a deep powder guy, Mr. Barry Nolan. And who's going to cap them?
Jane Mansfield's favorite hunk, Tony Khan.
Ooh. Tony. Well, captain. To my left, team two, her life's been a bit of a slalom. A regular super G, Paula Lyons. He's a media mogul, rapidly going downhill, Arnie Riestrand. And we're glad she's decided to take to the slopes because she sure could use a little shushing, Miss Carolyn Bayfox. Who might lead?
Yes, and I will be the captain.
The goddess of shush.
The goddess of shush, well,
yes.
Captain?
Yes.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of, hey, I'm not eating that. What's in it? Inspired by my son, actually. For 10 points, Carolyn, what's in cream chip beef on toast?
Oh, you don't want to know and you don't want to eat it. It is nasty bits of salted dried beef in a sort of a cream sauce.
With a little bechamel sauce.
A little bechamel, yes. It is actually bechamel-ish.
Yes.
Bechamel-ish.
Bechamel-ish. Yeah. Bechamel mucho.
And, of course, in the end...
Toast.
You know what? You get the 10 points. That's, yeah. It is thinly sliced, pressed, and dried strips of beef, each containing more sodium than the planet Venus. Saltiest thing you've ever seen in your life. shredded and covered with a butter and flour white sauce and then ladled onto an unsuspecting slab of toast.
After 7 weeks outdoors.
Exactly. But this is the interesting part. Experts agree that this dish, better than any other, stands up best to microwaving. Try this one, Tony. What's in bug juice?
What's in bug juice?
Yes.
Well, it often coats the windshield of my car. When I, for some strange reason, neglect to turn on the headlights. It is, well, I know that it has a camp origin.
Yes, it does, actually.
Not having been to camp, this is pure hearsay on my part.
Like
most things that are hoarded away by children at camp and then sold at an enormous markup in the woods, yes. It's probably
it's
a powder.
Powdered sugar that you mix with water to make a drink.
A fruit-flavored drink, not unlike really bad Hawaiian punch.
You know what? 10 points, don't you think? That's exactly
pink,
what it is.
Pink and purple.
I'd like to... if I could ask my camp-attending friends, what makes it different from Kool-Aid?
An interesting point.
The
didn't
fear.
Come in an envelope.
That there is something to do with bugs in it, and that's the way you're introduced to camp.
Okay, so it's one of those things that scares the
it,
guy.
Yeah. Because there's so much sugar in it, it attracts bugs.
Well, everyone contends that it is Kool-Aid diluted 2-to-1 with water. But actually...
Also known as Kool-Aid.
Yes. But actually, it refers to any drink made by combining water with powder. There are several manufacturers, none of whom underwrite this show and therefore won't be mentioned, who distribute these to summer camps, army mess halls, and scouting events. That's what it is.
Oh.
You should tell people what you always say about non-dairy creamer.
Yeah, that you know my feeling about non-dairy creamer? I don't want to know what it isn't. Never gotten by that. All right, Arnold. What exactly is monkey bread?
Monkey bread?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, go ahead.
It's sort of like an eggy coffee cake pull-apart sort of bread.
Well, I think we have to do a little better than that.
Is it like with sort of like dough balls and the way it's assembled, you can pull it apart after it's baked?
Well, what do you think?
Is it? Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
All right. 10 yeah. points. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Anyone else have any thoughts about monkey bread?
Does it have some shape that's not unlike a monkey paw?
No.
That makes
no,
it easy to
no.
pull?
I always
that's
thought it was claws. Sort of twisted a little
that's
bit.
That's bear claws.
Not really?
No.
Okay. They say it's sweet yeast dough covered in butter, sugar, cinnamon, and chopped pecans and baked in a cake pan at high heat.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
It's like a coffee cake that you can break off.
It's also called bubble loaf, for those of you who...
Bubble loaf?
Yes. Try this one, Francine. What in the world is Scrapple?
Oh. Oh.
Scrapple.
I see you've had it.
Yes. Scrapple is not a dish native to these parts.
It is not, actually.
Let's get that perfectly clear. It's very popular in Maryland. Going more southerly, it's often served with breakfast, and it is pork residuals mushed up with cornbread.
Scrapple is
mushed up in a frying pan and served with your eggs instead of bacon.
I couldn't have said it better if I tried. That's exactly right.
And it's not kosher.
I thought it was the answer to the question, God, there must be something we could do with this.
It is.
It is.
I will say one thing. I come from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And it's an Amish special.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Pennsylvania
yeah.
people in the crowd?
It's big down there.
Yeah, it's basically Amish.
The Atlantic thing, I think.
But I love the pork residuals because I don't think I could have said it any better. Try this one, Paula. Bubble and squeak.
Oh.
Oh, now I used to know this because we've had it. It's from England.
Yeah.
Is that
potatoes and bacon
cabbage.
Bits? Oh, and cabbage. That's right, potatoes and cabbage. It's real delicacy. Really yummy. And is it mashed? It's mashed potatoes and cabbage,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all mashed up, it seemed.
Yeah.
How do you think it gets the name?
Because if you eat too much of it, you bubble and squeak.
Yeah. Fine. I could argue, but...
Yeah.
Anyone...
That's what it does in the pot.
Yes,
it bubbles
that's
and
exactly
squeaks,
right.
It's what cabbage does.
Yeah, when you do that, when you mash it up and fry it, it bubbles and squeaks in the pan. And that's
with the potato.
And finally, Barry... What might be gooey ducks?
Oh.
G-E-O-D-U-C-K-S, gooey ducks.
Spell it again?
Spell it?
G-E-O-D-U-C-K-S.
Francine, you're far more worldly than I. You had gooey ducks someplace along the way?
No.
You're also a woman with taste.
G-E-O?
Yeah.
G-E-O, and it's not geoducks?
No, it is gooey. It's pronounced gooey ducks.
Tony, you used to host the world. Any idea where...
And you'll notice where I am today.
Your world shrank.
As any good leader of a group, I'm going for deniability here. Right. Okay. Never been anywhere near it.
Never.
Let's venture a guess.
So it's mushy. It's mushy.
Ducks.
It's something that if you put a duck with some really good olive oil and some butter in a blender,
I'm going to let this
bubble and squeak again.
Richard, as just a general category of food, is it something to be avoided?
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
Is it dessertish?
Not in the slightest.
This is something that's an entree.
Would you call it an entree?
Candy.
Yes, yeah.
It seems to be widely known here in Vermont.
Yeah.
So clearly it's made from cheese.
Right.
Maple syrup.
It's a piquin combination of cheese and maple syrup served over pâté.
And it's local.
Yes, and it's local.
Before this...
Does it have a soft center?
Oh, it has a soft center.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Before this gets any more embarrassing, I'm going to go to the other side.
Clams.
Giant clams.
Giant clams.
Large saltwater clams, the official mascot, incidentally, of the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington.
That's right, the gooey ducks.
Where the infamous Sam Palmer, our friend, holds sway. But that's what they are, large saltwater clams with long siphons. Mm-hmm. So there you go, that's gooey ducks. Thank you very much for that round, you guys. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from the international guitar duo of Lauren and Mark. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. So, Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have blank cards. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word cade. C-A-D-E. Cade. Gentlemen? So many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance, or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. Says You returns after this from home. Next live performance is in Port Townsend, Washington, Friday, June 21st. It's a community Says You to benefit the Clemente Course for the Humanities, featuring Says You team captains and local denizens vying for verbal supremacy. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. We hope you'll be there for an evening of wit and wordplay as the whole town turns out to support community education. That's Friday, June 21st in Port Townsend, Washington. A live performance of Says You. Says You says thanks to Vermont Public Radio for your help and support in Stowe. To Lance Olson and the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center for providing a great place to play. And to the Stowe Mountain Lodge for letting us close down the mountain this season and giving us a weekend we will not soon forget, filled with hospitality, fireplaces, and great company. You can see where we stayed at StoweMountainLodge.com. Don't forget to spell out mountain and put an E on Stowe.
International guitar duo, Lauren Barragar and Mark Mazengard. Thank you very much, you guys, for giving us a few moments with the word Cade. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Cade. Cade sounds like the hero of a Harlequin romance or something like 50 Cades of Grey. But that's not the case. A Cade is any baby animal that is abandoned by its parents and raised by humans, who are raising Cade.
You don't want to stifle a groan. I think a groan should build. Thank you for that opinion, madam. I appreciate that. A baby animal raised by humans is a Cade. Could be that. Or it could be something else. What say you, Arnold?
It's a small goat that's been flattened. No, it's, I don't know, it seems to, I was once a kid, and never mind. Apparently it's some kind of warlock. It's a spirit that, this is really an old wives' tale, it's a spirit that casts spells on young women who dare to go out alone.
As
from some kind of mythology.
I thought that was an appropriate response from the audience. Yes, that's good.
A spirit that casts spells on young women who go out alone.
Could be that, or Paula, something else.
Well, I was kind of hoping it was a female cad, but it strikes me when I read the definition that it's a bit like a chit or something. It's a token or other ticket or something of that nature that is given out to prove that you've paid for entry to a special event. That's a cade.
A token to prove you've paid.
Yeah, a token or a ticket or something like that, like a chit.
Okay. It could either be a token to prove you paid, a spirit who casts spells on young women who go out, or it could be a baby animal raised by humans. It is one of those three. And the choice, Tony, yours.
Oh, my gosh, Rudy. Carolyn's definition of an animal that was raised by humans and probably also never writes back home sounds kind of like me, actually. A cade. There are so many different kinds of animals that are raised by humans that I just don't think there's one general term for them. Which means that's probably the right definition. Francine, take it away from there.
Well,
what do you think about the warlock?
I was leading to the warlock because then I thought when he talked about spirit, I thought maybe he was thinking shade.
What culture would think that you have to have a spell cast on you to want to go out by yourself?
No. Lots.
The other way around.
No, the other way around.
It's, the other way around.
Lest you go out alone.
Then things will happen.
Yes.
You're going to meet Stanley.
The cade.
Right, something really bad's going to happen.
Yeah, the cade is there to strike fear in your heart to not go down to the mall by yourself to hang out with those guys.
Cade's going to get you.
Which leaves us with that weird little purple stamp they put on the back of your hand, right?
Yeah,
when you leave the prom.
This is very far from obvious, everything else usually is.
The thing that Paula said, which is a token or a ticket given to show that you paid.
Yeah.
The token or the ticket is usually the thing you give them to show you paid and get to go in. So what are they going to do?
Here's
a ticket.
It's a stub.
Give me the ticket. You can go in.
I think they're all lying through their
teeth. I think it's the baby animal.
You do?
I think the cade.
I think the spirit casts spells on young women, and then he went too far. They'll go out alone. If he quit there, I would have believed it. But I think it's the baby animal raised by humans.
Okay, I don't believe this technique has ever been used before in the 500 shows that we've done, but I'm going to put an X on one piece of paper and leave the other one.
I think we should.
I'm going to call this one Carolyn. I'm going to call this one Arnie.
This is 17 years of the scientific
Paula,
method.
And I'm going to throw them all up in the air, and they're all going to come down, and it's Paula.
Okay.
This is so much better than when we used to guess.
Paula, just the kind of intellectual exercise I had in mind. Oh, so many years ago.
And this comes up too much pizza and too much massage.
Right. I think Paula also, because of the amount of time that she spent dancing around the fact that it sounded like what she wrote wasn't
all right,
the definition.
Just blurt it out.
Paula, we think it's yours.
Paula, they have come to the... I think Tony has come to the conclusion that a cade is a token to prove that you paid and you can get in. Is that in fact what it is?
No, it is not. Cade says... Please bluff.
That is a bluff. 10 points for your side. All right, audience. It's your turn. What do you think? How many think it's the spirit? How many think it's the baby animal? Ooh. That's pretty close. I'm not really sure.
The baby animals were louder.
You think the baby...
louder, yeah.
I think that the baby animal might have just squeaked by with the audience approval. That was your definition, Carolyn. Is that, in fact, what a cade is?
Well, like Paula, I wish that it were a female cad. However, a cade is a young animal abandoned by its parents and raised by humans.
That's what it is. The audience wins. Do Gary Russell Russell of Melbourne, Florida, Ellen Coy Visto of San Francisco, and Bob Bird of Birmingham, Alabama all have in common? Well, all have contributed questions to Says You and thus been immortalized in the Says You Hall of Fame. And if you too wish such universal recognition, send us a question, dazzle us with cleverness, confuse us to the point of curiosity. That's the only way into the Says You Hall of Fame. There's no way out. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers for the evening. That's Annika Clark on the right and Mr. Benjamin Scherer on the left. Thanks, guys, for keeping the score. Let's go on to round three. We are in the middle of one of the world's great ski resorts, so it's fitting that the Stowe atmosphere engender a round of slippery slopes. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the world-famous ski resort I have in mind.
Oh.
Okay. I haven't even said anything yet.
Okay.
An example, a spiritual leader's patella would be a Chamonix. That was the best one I had.
I'm sure it was.
This is not going to be good. Famous ski resort, Carolyn, brought to mind by the clue, benighted apple juice producer.
Benighted apple juice producer.
Zermatt.
Is exactly
hey.
Right.
Well, I'll go. Let's go.
You all got that?
Right.
The benighted apple juice producer is Zermatt. Yes, Zermatt. All right. Try this one, Tony. Gray and black arranger.
Oh.
You got that
gray
one?
And
yeah.
Black arranger.
Gray and black arranger. This is a tough one. This is a multi-layered one.
Yeah. It's a good
one. Who's the guy that did all the arrangements for Frank Sinatra?
Not that kind of arranger.
No.
Ooh, tough one.
Would be...
Hold it, Whistler.
Oh!
Is exactly right. Whistler.
Very good.
Whistler's mother is the... Whistler's mother is actually called Arrangement in Gray and Black, number one, the artist's mother.
And she did that after a massage and painkillers.
because of a massage and painkillers.
Try this one, Arnie.
Snowmass. No.
It was a lot of my tried, believe me. Try this one, Arnie. This is just for you, okay?
Oh, good.
The ski area brought to mind by the clue, Claremont Shocks, perhaps.
Claremont
Shocks.
Shocks?
Shocks, S-H-O-C-K?
Yes. Claremont Shocks.
How are you spelling Claremont?
In quotes.
Ooh, Arnie, I think you're on your own with this one.
Steamboat Springs.
Is exactly right. Steamboat Springs. I think...
Claremont was the name of Robert Fulton's steamboat.
Yes, it certainly was. The Claremont was his steamboat, and the Shocks, of course, were the springs. See, Laura, I told you you'd get that one.
That's it for me. I'm going home.
Francine, try this one. The ski area brought to mind by the clue, forbid dismissive exhalation.
Pshaw.
I think I heard you over there.
Shaw.
Forbid
Mount Fuji. Fuji.
No, it's a good.
That's what I said.
Forbid.
No, can't.
Deny.
Ain't.
Yes.
Yes.
Hmm? Can't.
Ain't.
I'm sorry, Tony?
No,
can't. Something.
No.
Can't.
Den. No.
Can't. Den.
Forbid, I think, can't is a more.
Don't.
Dismissive.
Don't say it out loud.
Stop.
Do you have, does anyone in the audience know?
Yeah. They all know.
Don't say it. No, just a minute.
I give them a hint. I'm going to give them a hint.
Give us a hint. You're feeling good. You've had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Is it in the United States?
If you legally forbid something, what do?
Ban.
Bam.
Bam. It's exactly right.
Ten points.
To ban.
So the dismissive exhalation is.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Bam.
Don't know why we didn't get that.
Okay, what's next?
They eventually got it with a tremendous hint, so we'll give them 6 points for that, and they should be very grateful.
Thank
We're
you.
We're very grateful.
We're very grateful for that. And we go to Paula. Paula. Oh, this one's horrible. But we'll give you some help, too.
No, try I got one. Bamf like that.
Yeah, I know you got Bamf like that. Try this one. Ski area brought to mind by Kojak's Disneyland tribute, perhaps.
Kojak's.
Bald something?
No. Kojak's.
Disneyland tribute.
Yes, Kojak's. Perhaps.
Disneyland tribute?
What was his first name?
Mickey Mouse. I heard it in the audience.
Telluride.
Telluride is exactly right.
Telluride.
You want to explain that to the...
Kojak is Telly Savalas.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, Telluride.
Who played Kojak, right?
And so he actually got a Telluride.
He got a Telluride.
Yeah.
Which was Telluride. And finally, try this one, Barry. International ski destination brought to mind by the clue, Hostelry Falls on Hard Times.
Hostelry
Falls on Hard Times.
Got it.
Don't you just
How come they keep getting it?
It really pays not to ski, let me tell you.
Hostelry Falls on Hard Times. This is Sheraton Falls, a bed and breakfast mountain.
Innsbruck.
Innsbruck is exactly right.
Innsbruck, yes.
Yes. Hostelry Falls on Hard Times, Innsbruck. Yes, that's what it is. And that's our ski tribute to the folks in Stowe. Hope you enjoy it. You know, you booed me at the beginning, but I'll let that go.
Let's go to the physics round.
Okay. Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word... Floruit.
What?
F-L-O-R-U-I-T. Yeah. Floruit. Gentlemen? A quick reminder, Says You heads to Port Townsend, Washington, Friday evening, June 21st, for a Community Says You to support the Clemente Course for the Humanities. Join Says You team captains and local denizens for an evening of wit and wordplay. Tickets, information, and details available, of course, at saysyou.net, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. And should you wish to join the greats, John Henderson of Lodi, New York, David Zobel of Los Angeles, or Michael Kramer of Guilford, Vermont, contribute a question to Says You, because frankly, Phil and I are hitting a dry spell.
briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. The dilemma, what to get the folks as Mother's Day and Father's Day fast draw nigh. The answer, Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You. Two volumes, our first two seasons, 40 full shows. A gift so versatile, you can play together in the car on the way over, wrap it in the rest stop, and presto, instant thoughtfulness. You can find out more at SaysYou.net. About Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You.
That's Lauren Barragar and Mark Mazengrove. Thank you very much, you guys, for giving us a little time with the word floruit. We will go first to Tony Kahn.
I think your pronunciation is actually floruit. It comes from a Latin verb, floro. Floro, fluxy, floozy, flora. To hit the floor, to drop dead. These are the last things you really want to know about yourself, your birth and death dates.
Your what?
Your birth and death dates.
These are your
floruit.
Your floruit is your birth and death dates?
Birth and death dates.
Birth and death dates.
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right, next.
Okay.
And that's what that could be. It could be something else. Probably is. Francine, what say you?
Floruit is a waxy substance produced by the charbola plant, which comes from South America, and it is used in the baking of furniture polish.
Waxy substance used to make furniture polish.
The charbola plant?
Charbola?
Waxy yellow buildup, actually.
It could be the waxy substance used to make furniture polish, could be that.
Waxy
or it could be something else. What say you, Barry?
Floruit is a dental problem caused by trauma. Actually, I recall that I first read this in when I read Faulkner's Sound and the Fury, and he has one of his characters saying, "Yeah, Bubba, it was a heck of a tussle at that bar, and you broke your front teeth on that floruit." Thank you. They love their Faulkner here in Vermont.
It could be.
Sure, it wasn't as I lay dying.
Okay. It could be, what was that, a dental problem caused by trauma. Okay. Floruit could be a dental problem caused by trauma. It could be a waxy substance used to make furniture polish. Or it could be your birth and death dates.
Which suddenly looks better.
Which suddenly looks better, it does. But you got to pick one, and Carolyn, you're the picker.
All right. Well, Tony mentioned something that would be birth and death dates, which seems odd because you can't know your death date. You know your birth date.
Nevertheless, it appears on your tombstone.
It appears.
Maybe
it's the lines on the stone. I don't know. Francine said so much, I can't believe that's all in one card.
Well, she might have enhanced it.
She might have enhanced it. And what, it's just wax?
A waxy substance?
And all those charbolas and are just...
I'm gone. Pretty sure that in Spanish there's no CH, so I'm a little suspect of the charbola plant, but of course it could be a Quechua Indian.
Yes. What do you think of the traumatic denture?
It sounds too much like fluoride.
Yeah, well, right, it sounds like fluor, too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
right. So.
I don't know. Birth and death dates are dental problems.
So. I just love your sentence. Oh, my God. The floor you hit.
Arnie was saying, what did you think it was, Arnie?
I thought it was Barbara Walters telling the cab to go faster, but, you know.
If that's how you want to get on The View, fine.
Yeah, well.
Wait, I'm ripping up a piece of paper.
Because somehow we're going to make a choice out of this.
I'm liking
Tony. Oh, my
Tony's.
God. You're liking Tony.
I'm liking
Birth
Tony's
and death date. Let's
well.
Go with that. Forget
sure,
the paper.
Let's go with
I mean, they already
threw
paper. Don't tear
paper. We can, you know, we don't it's have been to done.
Put paper in the air.
Birth and or, death dates.
Yeah. Birth and death dates.
Tony, they think it's birth and death dates that floor you with, or birth and death dates. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Well,
4 score and 20.
Not to characterize any of the dates that I've been on.
Yes.
It's the dates in parentheses following a person's biographical listing.
Whoa! That is what it is. 10 points. Boy, they're running away with this one today over there.
I think
it's all right,
if we'd like to sell short on the score, Richard, if that's possible.
Let's try round 5. We are fortunate today to have the extraordinary talents of Mr. Barragar and Mr. Mazen Garb over there at our disposal. So what better time to try a musical round titled Three-Letter Words? The boys will play a quick medley of 3 introductory phrases to famous songs. Combining the first letters of those song titles will form a word.
Wait a minute.
Whoa.
10 points.
Divide
for telling
by
me what
six.
The word.
Divide by 6.
Square it.
Gentlemen, I sense they need an example. Can you give us an example of
no, we need all the out? Answers, Richard. Yeah. We don't need examples.
Is exactly right.
Nice.
Thank you, boys. That's good. All right. So you have some idea of how this is going to go. Let's try this out. Carolyn, you're about to hear 3 tunes. Use the first letters to form a 3-letter word. Gentlemen.
That's what I said. Hat.
Oh, hat.
Hat is exactly right. The 3.
Oh, I heard hat.
No,
do you have the 3 songs over there?
How High the Moon, All of Me, and Take Me Out to the Ball.
That's
game.
What you got. 3. Let's. All right, gentlemen, give him 3 songs to work with. Any idea what
Yes, the word is fup.
Thanks for not going for four, Richard.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought they were all the same song.
I'm not sure of the middle letter, but the only thing I can think
Wait,
of
is that
has one.
Gentlemen, can you play the middle
cow,
one again?
Cow. We're going for cow.
You're going for cow? No. That's exactly right.
Yeah, cow.
Cow is 10 points.
What?
Do you know the songs?
Country Rose.
Country Rose.
Yep.
Octopus, I've known.
No.
And what? Waltzing Matilda.
Waltzing Matilda. And the middle one was, I believe, was Only You.
Only You.
Very good.
Oh, I had an Elvis-like. Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's try this one, Arnold. Three-letter word brought to mind by the following three tunes. Is exactly
yeah.
right. And can you tell me the three songs involved?
Hotel California, Imagine, and Mr. Sandman.
That's exactly right. Very good. 10 points. All right, Francine, it is your turn. Gentlemen, what have you got for Francine?
It's Sweet Georgia Brown. Isn't she lovely in the Tennessee Waltz?
There you go. Sit. 10 points. Very good. I'm not sure of this, but they may be working on a perfect day over here, so this is a real big question for you, Paula. Gentlemen, give Paula three tunes to work with.
To the Moon.
Yes.
You Were Always on My Mind. Isn't that the name of that, or is that something else? R is in Maybe be. I Didn't Love You. Quite
and the last one, of course?
It's Runaway.
Runaway.
Yeah.
It's Far.
Far.
Far is exactly right.
Far.
10 points.
Always on My Mind. Yeah. Okay.
And finally, and this will probably be the hardest one, but give it a shot, Barry. It's for the honor of the game. Gentlemen, three tunes for Barry.
Again with a piano?
Yeah.
How about with the lyrics?
I think these guys were a little puzzled by that. Could we have a little bit more on each one of those? See if we can...
Yeah.
song. Ah. Yeah. What's It's the One, Angie. Angie.
Angie is right.
Angie. And then the Beatles, da 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 da. No. That's the intro, and then it gets really crazy.
Right.
But what happens after that?
Oh, I don't think they got that middle one. So I must go to the other side. What did you get, guys?
Ace.
Ace.
Ace, because...
Close to you.
Angie, close to you in 8 days a week.
That is exactly right.
Yes.
Nice job, you guys. Tony, your team did really well on a hard day. That was 66 points, but I'm telling you, I believe that was a perfect day. Was that a perfect day over there? 110 points for Miss Carolyn Payne Fox's team. Boy.
Luck of the draw.
We haven't seen one of those in a long, long time, and you were here. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Lance Olson and all the folks here at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center, including Tom Rowell, Brian Hammer, Belinda Emerson, and John Bauer. Antonio Oliart is our erstwhile engineer. Richard Scher and Philip Salkin argue about almost everything for the last week. And Zach Moore is ever-present in our hearts and minds. We close this week. How many Vermonters does it take to screw in a light bulb? No, six. One to hold the ladder, one to execute, and four others to confer as to the shortest way to get to the site of the outage. That's it from your neighbors in Vermont this time. And we'll see you all next week.
Support for SIDU in Stowe, Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio, the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center, and the Stowe Mountain Lodge, home for SIDU near the top of Vermont. On the web at StoweMountainLodge.com. Spell out mountain, put an E on Stowe. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Busted.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.